Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall crush the corners of Moab, and topple all the sons of Sheth. Long ago, in a time represented by the story of the Garden of Eden, mankind turned away from the Lord. Right away, people could tell that mankind was doomed, and right away, the Lord promised that he himself would come to save us. As the human race sank down further and further from the Lord and from heaven, every so often the Lord gave us another prophecy of his coming, like the prophet Balaam's vision of the coming of a star and a scepter. It's hard for us to imagine what it was like before his coming. God was nearly invisible. Jehovah could not be seen except on the rare occasions when he sent the angel of Yehovah to represent him. All things of worship, in fact, all things of life, involved rituals and representations by which people tried to picture the divinely human qualities of God, God who would someday come into the world. This is the origin of the ancient ritualistic religions of today, such as Hinduism. Originally, they were looking forward to the Lord who was to come. How important each prophecy was to people waiting for the coming of the Lord. For behold, darkness covered the earth, and gross darkness the people, as they waited for him for thousands of years. Prophecies were like stars, rays of hope, reminders that the Lord would really come. Stars represent concepts of what is true and what is good, wherever stars are mentioned in the word. The star in Balaam's prophecy, "There shall come a star," gave the wise men the sign that the Lord was born, the greatest truth of all. In the highest sense, the star is the Lord himself, and the light that he would bring. Jesus said, "I have come a light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not dwell in darkness, but may have the light of life." The Lord chose a star for this prophecy because starlight appears at night, like the night when he was born. Stars are suns, but so far away that we receive only a little light and no heat from them. Similarly, mankind, since the golden days of the Garden of Eden, is much more distant from the Lord than we used to be. So the Lord appears like a star to us, even today, compared to the closeness to God that mankind first enjoyed. The Lord is love itself, warm as the sun, but we tend to love truths, principles, and even technology more than warm states of love to the Lord, giving glory to God in the highest and having peace on earth, goodwill among men. The very reason the Lord teaches us truths is to lead us into states of spiritual warmth and life, into states of love, love of use, love of our married partner and love of our children, love toward our neighbors. The Lord sets his stars, his truths, into our spiritual sky so that we can use them to find our way to heaven, a kingdom of love and uses. But we tend to love the means more than the end. The heavenly doctrine uses the term the spiritual church for the state in which we are today, in contrast to the celestial or heavenly church, the state of mankind in most ancient times. The spiritual church are those who love truths. In our good states, we love to live according to principles of conscience, And in this way, we express love toward our neighbor. We keep the commandments so we don't hurt our neighbors, and we do an honest day's work. But the celestial are those who deeply love the Lord. The celestial perceive, they receive truths immediately into life. They perceive how wonderful the Lord's teachings are, and so his laws become written on their hearts right away. We of the spiritual church need to receive truths into our memory and think them over and reason about them and see whether they are true and how they're true and finally how to apply them. Even today, the Lord comes to us people of the spiritual church as a star. Our spiritual eyesight is rather dim. We prefer a relatively distant relationship with the Lord compared to the first men on the earth. A passage from the Arcana describes the difference between a celestial state, such as is found in the highest heaven, and the spiritual state found in the middle heaven. We read, "With those who are celestial, good itself exists, implanted in the will side of their mind, or in their hearts. And from there, light enters the understanding side. But with those who are spiritual, the whole of the will side is destroyed, so that they have no good at all from there. And therefore, the Lord implants good in the understanding side of their mind. Unlike the first people, we are born with a stony heart, not a soft heart. Due to generations and generations of ancestors who turned away from the Lord and passed down to us hereditary tendencies to selfishness and consequently dim-wittedness in spiritual things." The passage continues, "This may appear to everyone if he reflects, and also from the fact that when he does good to anyone, it is for some worldly goal. And thus, although he does not do so consciously, still he thinks of reward, either from those to whom he does good or from the Lord in the other life, so that his good is defiled with the thought of merit. It may also appear from the fact that when he has done any good, he is in the delight of his life if he can mention it and thus place himself before others. But the celestial love the neighbor more than themselves and never think about reward. Neither do they place themselves in any manner before others." Don't we all recognize ourselves in this passage? Thinking of reward, feeling delight at mentioning our good deeds and our wise moves? The celestial don't even think of doing this. Still, the Lord loves us. The hereditary evil that has destroyed the will side of our mind is not our fault. The passage pointed out that we often act from it unconsciously, not on purpose. The Lord succeeds in bringing forth many good states with us in spite of our inherited tendencies to evil. The coming of the Lord is prophesied by a star because the Lord came mainly to save the people of the spiritual church. That is, he came to save nearly everyone who has lived on this earth since the fall of the most ancient church. In fact, if mankind had not turned away from the celestial state, there would have been no need for the Lord to be born. He could have continued to show himself to us through angels who represented him. Before the Lord came in person, he governed everyone through celestial angels. Celestial angels held the scepter of government on behalf of the Lord. But as the human race turned away from love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, we became less and less receptive to the celestial angels' influence. Mankind pulled further and further away from heaven. Celestial, heavenly love began to seem too high an ideal, and then incomprehensible, and then contemptible. Men no longer governed themselves by ideals of marriage, justice, sincerity, and faithfulness. Even good men could not sort out right from wrong in their church, in society, or in themselves. Therefore, when things had come to a head, when the hells really were about to gain the upper hand, the Lord himself came into the world and took up the scepter. He fulfilled the prophecy, "A scepter shall rise out of Israel." A scepter is a king's staff, a sign of the power and authority of his office. Jesus was born King of the Jews. He was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the one anointed king to lead his people to fight against the hells and to win victory. The Lord personally put on the totally confused state of the human race, clouded over and pitch dark with fallacies, falsities, and selfishness. Through such lies and delusions, the hells viciously attacked him to drag him down too. But step by step, the Lord put his human mind in order. He set things right and sorted things out. He set proper priorities and established discipline over the hells. He made his human, natural mind divine, even down to the sensual and bodily level. When he rose on Easter with his human made divine, he became the source of light for all in the universe. He provided us with a true, orderly, human picture of himself, and thereby of what it is to be truly human. Now he can enlighten our rational thinking and so bring light and good government all the way down to our sensual states. The Lord set us a wonderful example of how to live a truly human life, full of love and wisdom, serving others. He has given us clear teachings in the New Testament and the heavenly doctrine. These in turn open up the beautiful truths hidden in the words of the Old Testament. Together, the teachings of his word in all three testaments are perfectly accommodated to all our states and needs, so that in every state, he can touch us and lift us up if we are willing. The corners of Moab, which he crushed, mean the power of hypocritical, empty ritual, the power of false religion to bind our minds. Moab is the persuasion to make a fetish of external things while neglecting the essentials, judgment, mercy, and faith. The Lord taught us to look within ourselves, to clean the inside of the cup and the plate, and so make the outside clean also. The sons of Sheth, which he toppled, stand for the lies that justify the hypocritical Moabite way of life. The Lord destroyed the power of the hells to enslave our minds without our consent. He became the Alpha and the Omega, the Alpha being the origin of all things above the heavens, and the Omega being the divine man of flesh and bones who is with us always in all our earthly struggles. Today, we are still inclined to be devoted to worldly and sensual things and to care more about truths than to love uses. But now that the Lord is with us in a new way, we can be enlightened by the Word. We can be led out of our darkness up toward the light and warmth of heaven. Even though spiritual men such as ourselves are in great darkness compared to the celestial, nevertheless, we read, the spiritual can come from obscurity into light if only they are willing to be affirmative and believe that everything good relates to love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, and that from these two loves come all blessedness and happiness, and thus that in the good of love from the Lord there is heavenly life, but not in the truth of faith separate from that love. We in the new church are greatly blessed to have the light, not only of the bright star that came out of Jacob, the Lord at his first coming, but also the light of the morning star. In the book of Revelation, promising his second coming, Jesus says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." Let us be sure that we not only learn what is true, but strive to do it faithfully, so that we may walk in his light. And the Lord's star will continue to come out of Jacob for us, and his scepter will arise out of Israel and crush the corners of Moab and topple all the sons of Sheth. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.